Patty. How are you?
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm good. Love Report here, you know. First one of the new year.
Okay.
So, tell me, did you have a nice weekend?
I had a really good weekend. We went out and we bought a Jeep Cherokee. David needed a new car. And, you know, funny you should say that, because normally you go into a car dealership and they swarm around you like bees to honey. And this dealership in Huntington Beach, which, by the way, is the flagship premier show in California, is... It was a blessing. I had never seen it. We had gone to Long Beach. We had gone to Santa Monica.
Long Beach is terrible.
They didn't have the car. Now, what Huntington Beach has, which is amazing, is they put the inventory online. You can actually print off, show the prices. Each car, like, here's a little tip. David's an ex-car used dealership guy. Here's a tip. When you go to the lot, new year, end of the year, middle of the year, the car certainly depreciates on the lot. So every certain amount of months, they put the drop of the discount, and the longer it stays on the lot, the bigger the discount. So if you start in January, which I did, there's going to be like a $3,000-$4,000 discount. But if you go at the end of the year, there could be as big as a $10,000 discount. So know that when you're car shopping. Second thing is, David finds the Middle Eastern guy, of all people, who's aging old, about to retire, and like, no! And he was the only one on the lot, so he took us to the back where all the cars are. And when you go to a truck lot, like an SUV lot,
it's
5,000 miles away. You got to walk, like, they need golf carts, put it that way. And so they couldn't find the ones that we wanted on the lot. And they don't really know their inventory, which is kind of unusual considering they're car guys. So he brings me the gold one because David wanted a beige interior. And traditionally, Jeep Cherokees, all the interior is black. They go by making what's
inside. He bought a gold one?
No, listen. Oh, so I go...
I was getting nervous for a second.
I don't know fucking way. We're not Persian. No offense to Persians. But I'm not, you know, the Shah's of Sunset. And so David was getting frustrated. And I'm like, come here. Watch this. So I used my swag. And I basically went in there. And I basically said, hi, I'm Patty Singer. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's the millionaire matchmaker. And of course, the girl at the reception was flipping out. And I asked for the GM. And the GM wasn't in. But the head sales manager was. He became my best friend. He actually is friends with Alexis Bellino and her husband, Jim. He was best friends. Jim used to own car dealerships and actually run these places. So this guy was his BFF. And of course, the mechanics are coming out and the Mexicans that are cleaning the cars. And it was like an amazing experience.
How many hours were you there?
And so we were there the whole day. So when you go car shopping, it's a whole day affair. Now, it's not because they're not helping you and they want to sell you every car in the lot. No, he said to me, what do you want? We'll get it. We'll swap it out, or we'll basically take 30 days and create it. David won the car today. He's a kid in a candy store that wants it now. He didn't want to wait 30 days, even though he drives an old Mercedes and it was kind of falling apart. He wanted it now. So he couldn't find the beige interior. Next up was the blue. He couldn't find the blue. The blue was off the lot. They had a lot of white, and my favorite color is the granite. It's a silver, black, metallic
gray. Beautiful color.
But David
doesn't show scratches.
David wouldn't buy it. Check this out. Why would he buy it? Even though it's the most gorgeous car in Latin, that's what I drive in my BMW. Because his ex-wife's husband, who he can't stand,
really?
Just drives that color. Oh my fucking God. I was there all day. I was starving. We finally went to Wahoo's, took a break. Now here's here's the interesting experience. You go buy the car. And you know what you want to spend for it. You know, most of these cars come fully loaded, and then they add the add-on, which are ridiculous things like, you know, 4x4, and do you want a diesel engine, which we don't know where diesel, gas stations are, so we didn't want to take the whole diesel experience. Sorry, Green, but what am I going to do? And so the bottom line is he knew the car he wanted. We drove it. It was a dream. David wanted to buy it without driving it. He just knew. He had instinct, gut. He's following his gut. And it was bliss. Fully loaded, everything's touchscreen,
comfortable,
everything's touchscreen. You don't have to do shit. You have iPod docking, they give you Sirius for your, it's fabulous. Okay, so I wanted to spend no more than 38. My bottom line was 38, right? And I knew that in my head.
You were looking at 44.
No. So the car technically was 36.
Really?
Right. And we were getting...
Did it have four-wheel drive?
No, we don't get 4x4.
Okay, so you got fully loaded two-wheel drive one, right? Okay, good.
And so basically, David's like, let's get $2,000 off. So the salesman, so I set up the deal. I was the opener, and David was the closer. And when they kept talking to me and talking to me because I'm the star, I'm like, sorry, I'm on my iPhone. My boyfriend's handling it. And David pulled out, and so the GM goes, look, I'm not a shark. you know, I'm not going to, you know, chew you down, so to speak. Sorry, Jews, but that's because David and I are Jewish. We can say that. Don't go viral on me on with that one. So David got the $2,000 off. We paid like 34. You know, you got to add the tax in and everything.
Yes, they paid 38 at the
door. They put these extras in. One is nitrous, which is, I think it's called nitrous. It's like basically where your car in the heat expands, so it's like a cooling agent, and you put it in once. And every few years you add to it. And so he took it. The guy like says, look, it's like $1,000 for this, but I'm going to just give it to you because I can't take it out of the
car.
Sounds
like a scary chemical.
So we walked off. Now, technically, car dealerships don't make money on people like me. They make money on the financing. They make money on the servicing. So if I buy it off right, they make maybe $2,000-$3,000. It's like
no, you know what they make? They make money from the bulk. Okay, so how they get paid is when they sell
the
certain
fleet.
Amount of cars per month, they get bonuses
right.
from Chrysler.
The fleet.
So they'll take lesser deals to get a car out.
In the world, the only thing I want to tell the car dealerships, if you really want people to buy the car, have really good food, don't have these stupid vending machines,
have
food out, especially on a Saturday or Sunday where most husband and wife shop together. Here's a little tip, just like the baked cookies in the real estate, you know, when you buy the house, there's always cookies burning, so you basically can, cookies baking, so you can always buy the house from the smell.
They're only
Did
burning
you know
in my
that?
House.
Right, they're only burning your house. They're baking in my house. So I have a tip. They should have like a little buffet because we were starving, and they let us leave. And I said, do you want my credit card? And he's like, no. And I'm like, you're letting us leave? You're letting us leave, and I wanted to put it on our Amex card. I have Amex, David has Visa, and I have a theory. You put it on Amex, it's got buyer's protection, because David wanted to put it on Visa, and
get miles.
And get this. Not only did I get miles, they don't take credit cards for over $10,000.
They never do.
So listen to this. This is the bizarre thing. Because I'm a star, they made an exception. But here's the thing. Before
Wait a second, they took the whole amount on a credit card?
I said,
I
was prepared to walk. I said, listen to the story. I said, I'm not going to the bank. I don't have the time to wait on the bank. Okay, I'm not getting you a bank check or certified check, whatever. Because I want protection on my end. Number two, in case there's a problem. Number two, I'm not going to get cash and deal with the IRS and all that shit. I want it on my credit card, you know, as a tax deduction, whatever, right off. I want my miles, and I made them do it. So if they say they can't take the card, say, look, I'm gonna go. I know so-and-so down the street will. You got him. That's your upsell. That's the way you're going to close that deal.
That's a grand out of their pocket.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's
so they did it for me.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
a grand.
So, you know, of course, I threw in, like, I'll Twitter and you'll see it on the show, whatever. But the point of the story is that we walked out of that dealership to go to Wahoo's for lunch. And what if I changed my mind at Wahoo's? What if I had buyer's regret? So let's think about this. You meet a guy. Let's take
the
analogy. Wait,
what color did he get? What color did he get?
Oh, we got white with the, we got the white on the outside and the dark.
Wait, you got white like mine?
Yeah, white on the outside, black. What kind of car do you have?
Audi Q5, okay. SQ5.
Okay, so here's the thing. The thought about this. Buying a car is like dating a guy. Right? You want all the bells and whistles, and there's certain things that you're gonna have to have the upgrade. You gotta have money in your pocket. Well, guess what? When you're dating a guy and you want the certain upgrades, and men, pay attention, because the women are the exact same thing. Okay? You want her to look like a 10, right? Well, you can't get a 10
unless
you
look like a 10. You want the undercoating,
you want
the full wax job.
Unless you're rich, 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 you ain't getting a 10. And girls, unless you're skinny, skinny, mini, you know? Or you're getting like curves with fit, like KK, Kim Kardashian, you gotta work for it to get it. So, you know that you can go two steps up or two steps down. It's very similar to what can I spend. Could I have bought the $65,000 top of the line? But then I said to myself,
it was beautiful, wasn't it?
I said to myself, it was gorgeous. Yeah. It had rims and everything. I said to myself, then I fucking want a Mercedes. What do I fucking want a cheap Chevy?
You know,
for?
Here's the deal. David can get the $38,000 one, and then he can go buy rims for $1,000 knockoff rims, and then boom,
we
it looks
wanted
just
a
the same.
Car. We wanted a car that we could run into the ground for like 5 years, our dogs can beat the shit out of it. We wanted rugged, man. We weren't looking for foo-foo Phil. You know what I mean? And so the bond, and he's not even used to driving an SUV because he drives a midsize. And I thought to myself, it's the exact same thing. You gotta put the hours in. But remember those dates that you go on, that first date, and you, he's not, but he made you laugh, he bought you dinner, he was a nice guy, and you go, you know what? If you leave that date and don't go back for a second chance, just to make sure it's 100%
another
no,
test drive.
Right?
Yep.
And then, guys, if you don't ask that girl out, you snooze, you lose. So that's my Wahoo moment. I left, and the dealership could have lost me forever. Oh, yeah, they could have hounded me with emails and called me because they had my paperwork. But the bottom line is, I could have changed my mind. They didn't have my money. So think of that. Think of those moments. Now, technically, it was the last one on the lot because I looked. No, and I wasn't paying attention to them. Number two, we got $2,000 extra off when they had already put in the discount, which I happen to love. It's called, in my line of work, when we were at Great Expectations, we used to sell the first day incentive. If you wanted to buy the membership at a certain premium price, you had to buy it now. And I pretended to call corporate. Okay, but I already knew what my job was.
I love that. You take the walk outside.
Yeah,
so
listen,
right?
I don't think I can do it. Maybe I could give you the student membership when you're 25, but I don't know about And then I would walk outside, and then I would, you know, sit for 5 minutes, talk to my friends. My friends would smoke a cigarette. I'd go downstairs to get some M&Ms, whatever it was. Come back in, he's sweating bullets. Because remind you, these guys were like 50, 60 grand Joes. In those times, that was a lot of money back in the 90s. And they had to do the financing, and I would talk them out of financing, and I'd get the one lump sum right on the credit card. And so you have to think about it. It's the exact same thing. So buying a car, I used to, as a girl, used to cry my eyes out if I had to go and buy myself because they would change the price 55 times and jerk me around. And it was always the Mercedes-Benz dealership. It was never BMW. BMW was like set. They had in their minds. The only bad thing about an American car dealership or the Jeeps or the people like that, Chrysler or whatever, is that you start at one desk, you go to another desk. I'm like, fucking, can't we
and
just be
And it's ugly.
In
the furniture's ugly.
Fucking,
yeah.
Why can't
yeah.
we just be? And they were sweating because they were fans of the show. And they go, I've done this a million times. Our finance guy said, we did it 9 times. I said, why do we need financing? We're buying it outright. What's the financing? I'm buying for the whole thing. I'm paying for it. So it's an interesting experience to do it. Then I said, David, celebration time, we need to go see The Wolf of Wall Street. So we had, you know, we dropped my car off, we jet over to the movies in his car, over to the rave, and...
Oh, it played in the rave?
Yeah, there's a million movies.
Isn't that a strange shopping center?
It's
or
just
what?
Really quiet without Nordstrom's. It's like,
yes,
it's
awful
something
without
happened
Nordstrom's.
But they have new restaurants in there, and things are good, and they're going to bring Dave & Buster's, so it should be a cool place, because we don't have Dave & Buster's.
What is Dave & Buster's?
Dave & Buster's is from Florida. And it's this place for adults as well as children, which is like an indoor amusement park.
Oh,
and you basically can play karaoke, you can play virtual golf, you can do the ski machines. It's a little loud and clanky, but they have all different rooms, and the food is actually awesome. I'm always upset that they didn't have one here, and now they're going to have one. But anyway, we go see The Wolf of Wall Street. Now, David went to college with Jordan Belfort and told me a story about him that he used to be the guy, Schnuck, from Queens. He grew up in Bayside. I grew up in Whitestone. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, I didn't land in Short Hills immediately. I was born in Jersey, moved to Whitestone to Beechhurst, for those of you in the hood. And Jordan was from Bayside, didn't have a lot of money, and he would go in the summers in Jones Beach and sell any tchotchke.
No, he was Field 2. He was the ice cream. Remember the guys that used
to
go?
Oh, okay, the ice
remember
cream.
Remember they used to go, they used to take their case, put it over their head and go, frozen Snickers, Milky Way
bars.
Yeah,
it's like the
right?
guy like you find at the baseball game. So anyway, he was that guy. Now, in the movie, he says he's like probably 48 right now. No, he's actually 50.
One.
He's my age. He's a year older than you?
No, he's my age. I'm 51.
Okay, so I'm 52. Oh, that's right. I forgot to become my baby. Okay, so he's a year younger than me, so the times didn't work. But the 714 Quaalude trips that he took in the cocaine village that he was in, yes, that is 100% true. I grew up in University of Miami times. We actually were the ones who started the 714. If you
American
go back
University,
and start
Quaalude Central.
And if you got a 714, what they told in the movie was weird. It was supposed to be a muscle relaxant. It was muscle relaxant for paraplegics. And number two, 714s gave you the best sex you ever had, beyond ecstasy. So it's kind of weird the way he described it, but the truth of the story was, yes, he was rescued by the Coast Guard. I'm not going to get into it because David hasn't seen it. And yes, this movie was an amazing movie. A little tattoo long, Scorsese style, as my review would say, where he basically does the narrative. Sometimes it's irritating when he does the narrative. He's always a New Yorker or a New Jersey guy. He's Jewish, Jordan. Most of the movies we've seen in the previous years with Scorsese, Cassini. Well, Cassino was half Jewish. He was Jewish. Robert De Niro's character, I actually know him. And so the narrative is, here's what happened. They show the scene. Here's where I'm going. They show the scene. Most film professors would say, oh, no, never do a voiceover. But it actually works Scorsese style. So Scorsese, props to you. I think it's a little long. I think you need to cut it. But who am I?
David, it's
really long, actually. And then prepare to bring, you know, lots of food and junk and monk, and you're going to want to go to the bathroom, and you're going to be holding it at the end. Just FYI for those chicks who have small little bladders. But also, the words in the movie were very typical of its time. He lived in Trump Tower. You know, that was the she building of its time.
Do you remember how tacky that was?
I know. If you lived in Trump Tower, you were Donald Trump. So that was a big deal. He gave away his nice Jewish girlfriend for a hottie patati blonde shiksa. I mean, it was a lot of interesting antidotes, the more money
and
he made.
And he ripped off everybody's families.
And what it was the art of the deal. He not only did he get addicted to the cash, he got addicted to the addiction of the cash, which his father tries to teach him. Now, here's the best part of the movie. In the middle of the movie, something miraculously happens, and I want to talk about that related to dating, where he gets a choice, basically, to pay a few million dollars in fine and get out of the business. And the business is thriving. It's Stratton. And they're
so
like...
So they're on to him,
they
right?
They are like the filings... Hang on a second.
We had a dog emergency, folks. We had to stop...
My dog!
We had to stop the podcast. These dogs are vanishing Houdinis.
We can't figure out how they got out. And my next-door neighbor found them. And I'm freaking out. And David thinks my black dog Rerun is crazy because he likes to jump, but that's me, my personality. He's energetic, always feels youthful. Shrek's a little bit older, slower. He's like 12 and Rerun's like 8, and Shrek is totally David. So we have like, and you're going to see on this season of Millionaire Matchmaker, we get dog training, and the dog Zen guy, Matt the Zen dog guy, that's what he's called, he basically tells us our personalities are each of the dogs, which is kind of weird because I didn't raise Rerun. He came to me later in life, but he is adopted, and so am I. He was on basically a death row.
He's sweet.
Yeah, he's the sweetest thing. He's a love dog, but how?
You give him a look. You give him a look. He was at the door. I gave him a look like this, and I shook my head like this, and he's like, oh, yeah. And he runs over 100 miles an hour and jumps on the couch next to me, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if you're allowed on the couch, dude. You know, it's like, I don't know what the house rules are, but we're going to get off. And I couldn't get him off. I'm like, pulling him off. I'm like, come on, heavy ass. You know, then they give you the heavy ass. He looks at me and goes, I'm allowed on this couch. It's mine.
But anyway, so it's really funny. So basically, you become your dogs, and dogs are a great way to meet chicks as well as guys. You walk a dog, especially a big dog, not a little foo-foo thing.
Oh, yeah, we run from foo-foo women.
A mid-size and larger, you basically walk your dog anywhere, and people find you. I mean, it's a strange thing. I've met more guys who said, I've gotten a dog when I moved to the suburbs, and, you know, I walk the dog, and girls come out of the houses, you know, with lipstick on and their hair done perfectly to meet these people. And same thing with the dog parks in the cities. So, you know, definitely use your animals to get chicks.
There is though. I used to go to the dog park up in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. When I had my dog, there are the crazy dog park people.
Yeah, okay,
that sit there and talk about the poo,
like,
yeah,
we're
nonstop.
We're not talking about like religion, like what are you eating, what are you feeding. We're talking about like it's a place for you to get dates. Doggy parks are a great place for dates, and also walking on the street. Or we have a beach here in Huntington Beach, which is like the only beach you can take your dogs. And everybody
have you been down to that
dogs.
Beach?
Yes,
it's beautiful.
Everybody lets their dogs run freely, and they all jump in the water. It's really fun, but basically, what I was trying to say about The Wolf of Wall Street is that he packages himself well, but there's one thing he has, which is the secret sauce that nobody else basically has. In the movie, everybody gets it from him. He's the kind of the Yoda, if you will, of stock, and he loves what he does. And so if you don't love what you do, you can't really sell because nobody's going to believe you. So the same thing happens when you're dating. If you don't love dating, which I despised literally 90% of my life, that's why I became a matchmaker. I thought I could get into the minds of men and figure it out, and then I would like I'd have the secret sauce, and then I wouldn't have to work for it. Not true, Patty.
Still got a date.
Still got a date.
Still got to go out
still
there.
Still got a date.
Still got to sit across. Still got a resume swap with somebody across
still,
the table.
You
yep.
Gotta still date, and you basically got to still sit there and sell yourself. And even if you think being authentic is not selling yourself, you are so wrong. Because even being authentic, there's a sales pitch in there somewhere.
Yep.
This is who I am, take it or leave it, but I like myself enough that if you don't like me, I don't like you. And then you know what? That turns a guy on and gives him a wedding. So, you know, I was just talking to David about my favorite book, which most people think I'm crazy on, is Real Women Love Bitches by Sherry Argov. And in this book, Real Men Love Bitches. In this book, Real Men Love Bitches and Real Men Bury Bitches, which is her second book, she tells you to be a bitch. So I like dial 20% off the top and say you still have to have sweetness, and you just can't get the guy to get the guy, because at the end of the day, you're stuck with what you get. So if you're going to marry a guy and you don't really like him or even love him, what's the point? I don't care how much money he has or how hot he is. Eventually, you'll get resentment and you'll leave and the marriage will break up. So I always say, like, you know, you can be the bitchy in the beginning to get them, qualify your buyer. Don't give him, you know, so much availability. Don't give him a blowjob just when he demands it, like on the spot, like in Bridesmaid, which I loathe that John Hamm character in Bridesmaid. When he goes, hey, and she just does whatever he says because he's hotter than her. That's not the way to go. Now, my mother had a theory. A man should love a woman more. And she said, you should always date a man that's less ugly than you, so he worships the goddess that you are. Well, if you're not sexually attracted, it doesn't really work.
And no, then you don't want
to
fuck him.
Right. And now that women are making money, we don't really need men to take care of us. Many of us are making more money than the men they're dating. I mean, I dated firefighters most of my life, and they didn't make as much money as I did because I was so attracted to them and loved the heroism in them.
I want to go back to the passion thing because that's really important. Friday night, I went to Casa Del Mar.
Okay.
And
to look for women?
Just
David Stengel now.
To go out with,
David Stengel, if you like him, you can email him.
To go out with friends, right? You can. You know, to go out with friends, right? And I had a friend in from out of town, and we went there, and it was like, it's like the passion thing that you were talking about. Everybody was in zombie mode. It's like they were there. They didn't want to be there. They didn't like going out on a Friday night because they don't want to go out and put themselves out there. They don't want to market themselves at all. And it was hilarious just sitting around watching. Like, there were these three women sitting there at a table. And I went out with my friend Kim, too, and my video guy, I took him along, right, because I'm mentoring him right now. And there were these three women sitting there, and they finally get up. I go, watch. I'm going to say hello to them. I said, watch what happens, okay? The first one's going to smile and say hello. And the second one's going to look down at the ground and say hello. And the fourth one, the third and fourth one, those four, are going to push them through because they're miserable and bitter and they can't stand it. So sure enough, it's like they walk. The first one looks at me and I go, hey. She goes, hey. Second one smiles and looks down. And the third and fourth one that looked miserable sitting there, didn't want to be there, they're pushing their friends out the door. And I look and I say to myself, the first two, when you go out at night, if you don't go out with people that want to meet people and you're going out with the bitter pill, the one that's really angry all the time, no guy's ever going to break through that because I didn't want to talk to the number
so
three and four.
Bitchy does not mean bitchy.
Exactly.
To the point, which means I'm not available and I'm not interested. Bitchy means you have to earn it. That's all it is. So if he's going to buy you a cocktail, you're going to talk to him, fine, for 5 minutes. But if he turns out to not be what you want, turn away. Thank you very much for the cocktail.
Yep.
Always be sweet Sally and return the favor, you know, such as, oh, you might like my friend Sue, that sort of thing. But you don't be bitchy to the point where it's like so hard to work for it. And the reason why is it won't work today. It's not like the 80s, like in this movie. It's not like the 60s. It's not like the 1700s. Life has changed. Social networking has changed everything. So if you snooze, you lose. And most people have dating ADD. 90% of men have dating ADD. So what does that mean? ADD is a deficiency disorder that basically says, I can't pay attention to anything long enough. Well, the same thing happens when dating. If he feels you're not giving him the time, and if he likes himself, and that's how you'll know, by the way. You want to know a good guy from a bad guy? You want to know a guy that's worth catching from the one that's not? Is the guy that won't take your shit for too long. Because that guy likes himself, and he knows there are other fish in the ocean. But the guy that puts up with your crap, you're going to end up walking all over him. And you know what's going to happen? Eventually he's going to snap. You'll be in this serious love relationship. You got him wrapped around your little pinky, and then one day he turns around like the Exorcist and basically flips on you. And he who controls the money is the controller of the relationship. So he eventually will start being mean, callous, cool, unavailable, not giving you the things you want, not paying attention to you, not giving you the time.
Keeping a balance sheet.
And it'll eventually, you know, every karma comes due, even in dating. So don't think that you're going to get away scot-free and you're going to be some kind of gold-digging arrangement girl. It won't work. But bitchy means you got to earn it. So what does earning it mean? Earning means, for instance, like you're on a date and he wants to get in. And you know he's taking you three, four dates, nice dates, good dates. You had a good kiss, you feel chemistry. But the truth of the matter is he wants to basically get in. So his trick is, I'll take you away for the week. And you're like, great, I always wanted to see Paris. He's rich enough to take you away to Paris. Or maybe he's just going to take you up to his mountain cabin. But there's only one bedroom, right? And you haven't established monogamy. So he's got to become monogamous with you in the sober light of day where you don't give him the cookie or the nookie, as I say, before he pays the piper, which is establish verbatim over coffee, tea, whatever, in the sober light of day, we're now monogamous. Now you say to me he could lie. Truthfully, 1% of the population is going to lie, and that's his shtick. But eventually, karma comes due, and whatever city you live in, word spreads like wildfire. This is this guy's MO. You know that this guy does this. He tells girl he's monogamous, just like the princes did in the 1700s. I'm going to marry you, They take their virtue, which, by the way, once their virtue was taken, they were sloppy seconds and nobody looked at them, and then they never married him. But I want to test your virtue first before I actually marry you, where you're supposed to be a virgin on your wedding night. So you basically tell him this: listen, we're not monogamous. And he's like, well, what does that mean? He's like, exclusive, where you only sleep and date me. And because of that, you know, technically, I'd like to sleep in the second bedroom, or I'd like you to get me a hotel room. Stop. Let the awkward pause. Hugh speaks first. You're going to learn in The Wolf of Wall Street, by the way.
Shut up and sell.
Okay? Hugh speaks first is the loser. Let the awkward pause. Let him spend 2 minutes, which is going to feel like 2 hours of eternity, to figure it out. He's the guy. He's supposed to figure it out. He's supposed to have a plan. Don't take his job away. Now, man, you're saying to me, well, that's really fucked up, Patty, because you're basically giving the goods to all the girls. No, man, I'm going to tell you this. How fun is it to date? How fun is it to look for tail? How many pieces of ass can you fuck a week? Do you get a stalker oxy every now and then? Do you get somebody showing up at your work and pretending they're your girlfriend and doing crazy-ass shit, maybe even keying your car? Oh, David, I think that was me once to you. No, I'm not kidding. Anyway, do you get people like that? Well, that's called oxytocin. So every time you sleep with the bitch and give her an orgasm because you think you are Don Juan DeMarco, you fucking turn her lights on to make her stupid salad.
Because most guys don't give them the fucking orgasm. Right. So if you're good, that's what I tell guys all the time. It's like learn the mentality and learn the mindset of sex, and you can rock the world every time. They are going to be fucking knocking on your door. They could be dating 10 guys, and they're going to go crazy for you.
And do you know where your dip has been whipped? Do you know, for instance, if she actually is only sleeping with you, Crazy Sally, or she's sleeping with 10 other guys pulling the same shtick, which, by the way, could lead to death? That's correct. Not just an STD, death. There is still AIDS out there, and it hasn't gone away. Nobody talks about it, but it exists. You don't want to take all those pills to live your life for the next 20 years and lose your hair. You want to stay healthy and sane. So, that being said, think before you ask that girl away, because my smart girls are going to make you pay the piper, which means you're going to spend a lot of ass time, 3 at least months, of getting to know this girl in the second bedroom or the extra hotel room. You got a choice. So don't ask her out, and don't ask her away, unless you plan monogamy from the get-set. Now, that means we could spend a vacation together and get to know each other, but she's not going to sleep with you unless you give her monogamy.
I've done that.
And if monogamy is too much for you, then buy hookers. It's a lot cheaper in Vegas. It is. Now, women, after you've established the monogamy and the awkward pause, what's going to happen? He's basically going to say to you, well, I can't afford a hotel room. This is for the poor schnooks out there. Okay. Then I'm sorry, I can't go. That's right. You're not going. And if he says, well, you know, I changed my mind, I really don't want to go away, then you know what you're going to say? I really don't want to see you anymore. Because the guy that's not willing to wait for it, you know, basically spend a lot of time on the champagne before you get to the appetizer, is not the guy worth waiting for. You get it? And you're going to spend years and years trying to convince a non-monogamous guy, a player, into becoming a stayer, which will never fucking happen because his MO is his MO. Now, that's not to say that the model du jour doesn't show up one day and 10 years later you hear he gets married, but then 5 years later you hear he gets divorced because she's sick of his shit. What do we always used to say? What's that expression?
One
perfect 10, there's a guy out there sick of that.
Oh, no. That's saying, show me a beautiful woman and I'll show a guy tired of fucking her.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go.
David Lee Roth.
In the movie, The Wolf of Wall Street, his wife is tired of fucking him. And she pulls the trigger. And she flips the sheets. When you see that, you're going to fucking love that scene, girls. It's like waiting to exhale when she smokes the cigarette and lights the Mercedes with all his clothes on fire. You're going to be like, yeah, motherfucker, let's bring it. Even though you like Jordan's character, he's still a fucking drug addict on a waste case. Okay. Now, back to this. So, you've established monogamy. What about the good guy? What is a good guy? Oh, I would totally get you a hotel room. And he knows if he gets you a hotel room, he'll put the hotel rooms together. There'll be a little mini door in between. He knows in the middle of the night after you made out and you go to your room, you're going to both be listening at the door, like wondering what's going on with the other person.
It's like a movie.
Eventually, you're going to fuck each other. Okay. Make sure you have monogamy. Make sure he says it in the sober light of day. And you know what I would do? Don't fuck him that night. Once he wakes up in the morning at breakfast and establishes monogamy, then give him the reward that night. Don't do it the night you guys are listening to each other's door, hearing each other's heartbeats.
Spoon.
Same thing with the second bedroom in the mountain cabin. Now, rich guys take girls away to get laid. What does a poor guy do? What does a guy who can't even have a cabin do? He does the, hey, let me come over and watch a movie.
Yep.
That's the technical move. The reason is he can leave. He doesn't want you at his house. Now, some guys like to make the dinner in his house because they think there's some great chef and they need all their pots and pans and their spices. You know, that's kind of the metrosexual move. That's the metro move. He makes this fabulous dinner complete with fucking truffles
and caviar.
Plus,
they have a beautiful house. The house always sells itself. It's
poor,
a castle.
If he's poor, he's making his favorite pasta dish his mother taught him, you know, yep. basically. And then he figures he's going to woo you into his bed, okay? But remember, if he does, without monogamy, you're stuck and you can't go back from where you came from. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute, where how I flip the sheets on those who've been dating for a long time without monogamy. But, so, the other guy who he's going to go to your house with the bottle of, you know, Cabernet while you make the dinner, and basically he brings the dessert and you watch your favorite chick flick, because he'd never watch a chick flick unless he had to get you into bed. Okay, trust me, most guys want to see Die Hard. Okay, he's then going to, you know, make out with you on the couch, and then you've got your lacy lingerie all set up in the other room with your favorite fragrances, you know, and you think it's all going to be go down easy breezy. But then in the morning when he gets up early to go to work, you're going to feel weird. So, monogamy first if you want to. These are only for people who want a relationship. These aren't for people who just want to fuck and come and fuck and come. This is not what this is about. Sorry if I'm a little crude, but there are those who just like to play the field and never, ever want to get into a relationship, male or female. There's Samanthas on every street in America from Sex and the City.
But, I dated them.
Right. Now,
I know them well.
Yeah. Now you've got now you're in a relationship for 2-3 years and you're non-monogamous. And there are people who are like that. They have open relationships today. It's very common. You break up, you make up, you break up, you make up. You're in one of those fucking psycho cycles. I've been in one of those for 3 years. I almost thought I would lose my mind.
We got an email. Let me read this, because this is, we got to wrap it up, okay? Because.
Okay.
But I wanted to take an email listener, and this is the exact thing. It's so funny we hit the topic without even hitting the topic.
Okay.
A woman emails in, literally, and asked us, and verbatim. She says, I've been involved with this guy for 2 years. It's been a long-distance relationship, right? Okay, which I love, long-distance relationship. He's really wonderful when we're together for these weekends, and they're full of passion and everything else, but he disconnects incredibly when we're not together. Is he ever going to change? Think about it. 2 years of her life she spent thinking that this man's going to come. She goes, I don't understand why he won't move to my area. I don't understand why we're not talking.
You know why. He's got the milk for free. And usually if he lives in two different areas, he's got two different women. And that's why in his downtime without the woman that has written the email, he's fucking the other one. And by the way, it's a very dangerous feat to be in a situation where you're, A, not using condoms. I want you guys to really protect yourself and, you know, rubber raincoat it up. Because if you don't, you're getting someone else's nasty disease. Now, sometimes it's just a simple STD, and sometimes it could lead to death. So be careful. Be careful out there if you're fucking around and you don't know where. Nobody knows 100% where someone is, even if you're married, by the way. There are plenty of women that go to my gynecologist that can't understand why the yeast infection is not going away or something far worse. And it's because the husband's sleeping around either with hookers or some ex-girlfriend or some new girlfriend and basically is giving it to the woman. And vice versa, men. Sometimes the pussy don't got a smell and she's giving off this pheromone odor. And it's usually because she's fucking another man. You're smelling your own kind sometimes. I know it sounds a little creepy, but it's true. So, why don't we save next time for if you've been in a relationship and you can't seem to flip the switch to get that guy, okay, to come to your knees for monogamy, I'm going to teach you how.
Let's do that next week on the Love Report. For all of you that are listening for the very, very first time, please do me this favor. Go to pattyknows.com. Check out. We will put you on the list. It's a very special
list.
You will find out when this Love Report is launched.
By the way, when our products come out, there's negotiating the ring, which is 10 easy steps to negotiating that ring. And I even shortened it to like 5. So I made it my version of the 5 easy steps to negotiating the ring. And it's pretty simple. And most times, I've never seen it fail. I'll give myself a 99% track record, but it's really 100% that I've never seen a girl not get the ring.
We will see you next week. And don't forget, send us your questions. We love the questions.
Yeah, we love the questions.
Send us the questions.
Keep us on topic, and we want to help you. It's not about us. It's always about you.
And let's go find the dogs. See you later.
Okay. I live between my mids and I save. So anyway, I was getting caught up in the competition of I should be bigger than Bethany. I should be bigger than Nene. I should be bigger than Jill, who's my best friend. And you know what I realized? I'm perfectly where I am. So astrologically speaking, I look at everyone's charts and I itemize where the planets are going to be, what your progressions, which is your future, and what's your crisis that you have going on at that moment in time, not to mention natally, which is when you were born, some shit happened that you've got to overcome in life. And mine is, for those people who know astrology, is Venus square Saturn, which makes me believe I'm not beautiful, I'm not good enough, hence my adoption. And second of all, men don't like me. Thus the matchmaker. Right. But there's also an image thing going on. Right now, I'm not going to bore you with the transits, but there's an image thing where transit-wise, my business will be up and down a little bit till February. And then after 30 years, something magical happens in my chart, which my sun goes into Leo, progress sun, which is where J-Lo and all these famous Leos live, which is the fame, Ben Affleck, these people who are untouchable. You know, they have this kind of magic pixie dust. No matter what shit, you know, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck were the biggest shits in the world when they were engaged.
Remember how many bad movies he did?
And that jiggly movie, they tanked the floor, and you thought no one could come back from them. As magical as they are, their charts lend itself. Kim Kardashian's chart is like perfect. It's in the 10th house of fame. She can do nothing but pout her lips, and the world will love her. It's just the crazy. Okay, so good shit is happening. And what I realized in this next year coming up, which is my year, that in 2014 and 15, is that my time will come. So for those people listening to me, it's not about me, it's about you. Your time in love will come. If you're in the middle of a divorce, it's always darkest before the dawn. Think of Chloe and Lamar. She went through shit this last year. And trust me, she will come out on the other side, and he won't because of the crap that he pulled. You are going through the same thing. You will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, God saves the best for last because those survivors of those experiences, he needs to work a little harder with. They've been a little bit war-torn. Their emotions are a little bit more sensitive. He's got to give them more time to just gel and just clean up their wounds. And eventually, everyone gets their due. You know, I really believe that. So if you're going through a really bad breakup, a divorce, you don't have love, you haven't had a date in 100 years, your time, your number will come up. Everybody's number. I have never seen this fail in my entire life. I don't care how old you are, how fat you are, how ugly you are,
how dorky you are, how nerdy you are,
how stupid you
how
are,
insecure how insecure you
how
are,
how poor you are.
Oh, yeah.
Your number will come up. It definitely will come up. You just gotta have faith and hope. And the key is to look at what you have and not what you don't have. And if
always
one thing. If you have somebody that loves you in this world, whether it's your mother, your best friend, your dog. I love my dog more than anything else in the world. My dogs. Know that you're loved. That love can transcend emotionally, energetically, to that other person to come forward. Because all it needs is that. It's like catnip to cats. You get that sense of, I'm loved, I'm relaxed, I'm happy with the love I have. It's contagious. I have never seen more people gravitate to other people that were complete opposites. One was better looking than the other. One was richer than the other. One was taller than, you know, you see a female taller than the man. And you go, what is it? Their chemistry is energetically simpatico. That's why they were drawn to each other in the first place. It's not just about he's rich, I'm poor. He's better looking, I'm not. It's not about who has more muscles at the gym. It's an internal, I like myself. I feel good about myself. And bitch, my number will come.
Don't ever think about what you don't have. Don't compare yourself to anybody else.
Your competition ruins you.
Yep, and embrace. Embrace what you do have, because then you work from a position of strength, not a position of weakness. And so many people constantly are saying, I'm not this and I'm not that. And I do. And I want to get my chart redone. I haven't my chart done
in a long
time.
Okay, so I'll do your chart again.
Do my chart again, because I'm really curious.
For instance, I was looking at my Twitter followers, and I get these, you know, I have 346,000 Twitter followers, and everybody screams at me, I don't have enough, I should be at 900, a million. I'm like, you know what? These are my peeps. Whoever wants to come on, join the parade. I encourage men now to come on. We need some straight men, not just gay men. Or gay women. We need a lot more straight men. I really want at Patty Stanger and at David Wygant for them to bring on men, because straight men encourages the conversation to, we want to know what the other side is.
Not only they can flirt with each other.
Right, they can flirt. And you can also, I could fix you up on
yeah,
Twitter.
You can
if
meet.
You start doing.
You can meet on Twitter.
So here's the thing. Okay. So I use Twitter for all my mixers. Whenever I want to have a mixer, off camera on, we sound the alarm. And as you saw this last episode, this last week, the Christmas episode, we actually show that it worked. That's where people found us, on Twitter. So listen to Twitter all the time. But more importantly, my 345,000 are engaged. Now, I don't know about someone else's million or 2 million or 10 million. I don't know if the Kardashians are engaged. And most of the times, they're just monetizing it with things they're selling. When I promote shit, maybe 1 out of 10 is something that I own. 9 out of 10, today I promoted Bobbi Brown lipsticks because somebody asked me, what lipsticks do you wear? And I go, Bobbi Brown. Now, Bobbi Brown just tagged me and said, which ones, which colors? Because they'll probably send me some, which is nice, but I didn't ask for that. I might do a protein bar, you know, that Yasan is my favorite new protein bar. It's gluten-free. And I just showed it because I couldn't believe that gluten-free products were starting to become the norm in grocery stores. So, or gluten-free.
Now you got to hope that they're non-GMO.
Right. No GMO. They've all been said no GMO.
Yeah, you got to no GMO.
Right. So, which is modified. It's actually...
It's corn the size of Lamar.
Right. Corn that's modified by steroids out in the field.
So it's corn that looks like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but it's not real corn. It's not the real corn. It's just like what they're doing with the chickens with the steroids.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the point of the story is that my people are engaged. So maybe you don't have 20 friends. Maybe you're like, not. My sister's one of those that gathered. We called her the Wandering Jew. She was sleeping over everyone's house, you know, every night. And Wandering Jew is a plant, for those who don't know it. And so
my mother used to grow those.
Right. So Wandering Jew was a big plant back on the East Coast. And my sister was coined the Wandering Jew because every night she slept at a friend's house. And she had more friends than Carter or, you know, Advil has in their company, right? And I would laugh and say, but how many real friends do you have? Now, I always had two good girlfriends. It was the three amigos. And, you know, like, everyone tried to make me feel bad growing up. Those were my two friends. I'd have two friends at camp and two friends in high school. And I liked a smaller posse. Me too. I could be more popular. They always invited me to parties. And I was like, they were kind of nasty girls, mean girls. I didn't really believe that they were really my friends. It was a falsehood friendship. You know, very much like you see in The Housewives, where they're all friends for the show, but then behind closed doors they hate each other's guts. So it wasn't real. Think about this. How many friends do you really have? And I'm sure one of you has at least one, right? Isn't that better than 10 false friends? Okay? Having 5 relationships that didn't work, isn't that better than never having a relationship because it shows you're getting closer and closer to the target? Okay? Having no relationships, isn't that better than having 60 bad ones? Think about it. I contradicted myself on that, but everybody is different. It's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
I've got a friend who's really interesting. He makes $1 million a year. He has 1,000 people in his organization, right? That's how, you know, he newsletter, marketing, and everything else, 1,000 people. And people look at me, how do you do it? He says, I have a relationship with every single person on my list.
Yeah,
he
goes, sure you do.
he does. I've never built, he says, it's all network marketing that he does, right?
Yeah,
so
it's an email.
So it's email. So no, it's actually people who work underneath him, and he does training calls every day and stuff like that. He goes, but everybody's always trying to find, you know, all these people. They got to be the most popular person, this, that. It's how you engage people, and that's about authenticity. Well, that's all about your authenticity, too.
The new thing is FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out is a new thing. It's actually probably going to make it to the disease book soon because it's become like an OCD, ADD. You'll probably be medication in the next year for it.
Easily.
And FOMO is fear of missing out. You get invited to 5 parties, but you can't go to all. You got to pick one. Oh, my God, what if I pick the wrong party, not the coolest party, not the party that's been written out on page 6, okay? God forbid, you have no Christmas or New Year's date. Oh, my God, I'm missing out. Well, maybe you need that time to readjust, spend quiet time with yourself, and just look at your tree yourself. Like, everybody is not the same person. There is no one-size-fits-all. When Selena took a break this year, people were worried about it. Why is she taking a break? Did Justin break her heart so bad? She had a little conniption at the iHeartRadio event, you know, for Ryan Seacrest, the Jingle Ball. And, you know, she got upset because the sound wasn't right. And it kind of showed that she was losing her patience. Now, this girl's in her 20s. What's she, like 21?
Yeah,
22?
Exactly. Baby.
She has lived 3 lifetimes more than most of us because she started very young as a Disney kid. And if you know Disney, they own your ass. Okay? So she's worked herself to the bone. And then they tell you today that she had lupus. She needs a break. The woman has a disease. The kid needs a break from
herself.
They overworked her. She was a
And then allow her to be a kid.
And she probably asked 5,000 times to take a break, and they said, no, you have commitments, no contracts.
She probably asked to be a kid.
You'll be sued, right? So now she finally screamed, I need a break! And And they heard her. They heard her. God bless her. And the next picture you see on Twitter is something that was beautiful. She's holding her little baby sister. Her sister's like not even a year old. Her mom had a baby. And she's holding it up and cooking Christmas dinner. And you got to see the happy on her face. Being at home, being with her mom, being with her dog, being with her family, being with the Christmas presents, and holding her little baby sister. She needed to take it back to center. Do you need to take it back to center? Do you need to say, I got to get off this treadmill to nowhere? Are you just one of those people that just thinks if you keep going at this pace, you're going to, you know, hit the target? Because you're fucking not. You're going to destroy your mind, your brain, your body, and your soul. Get off the grid. Take a detox. I said this on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I said, it's okay. If dating isn't working for you, a site's not working,
get off.
Dates, get off. Take 2 months off. Take 3 months.
Get off.
I don't care if you take a year off. I took a year off once. I didn't date one person for a year. I was in my 30s.
It wasn't working.
And yeah. I took a break. I needed to recalculate. It was a very tense time. My mother was getting married, and my sister and I weren't getting along, and I lived in Florida, and everything was just fucked up. I lost my job. It was a terrible time for me. And I needed to take a break. And when I took that break, I moved to California. It led me to this place because I couldn't clear my mind fast enough. If you're one of those people that feel your mother's pressuring you, your father's pressuring you, the family's saying you're a loser because you're single, like if you're Jewish and you're Christian or you're Mormon and the religion is leading the parade, say tough titties. If God wants me to be married, I will. Take a break. It's okay.
It's so funny because I did that too. I was meeting Sons of Women in Whole Foods, never meeting somebody who sparked me. And I said, you know what? I'm going to the same place every day. I took a break. And when I took a break, what happened next was I ended up meeting somebody somewhere else because I no longer put that energy, because that's what people are doing. They're on Match.com. They're on OkCupid. They're on all these sites. They go to the bar every Friday night. They're putting all this energy towards
that. God
forbid
they miss something.
Right, because they don't want to miss something. So the thing is, take it away. Stop going to the hunting ground all the time and do something you enjoy. And guess what happens? The law of attraction kicks in, and all of a sudden you just stumble across somebody. But let me tell you, we're out of time.
We're out of time. It's like I could sit and talk about all these. We haven't even gotten to New Year's resolutions, and what's yours?
We'll talk about them next week.
We've got so much stuff to talk about. We're just catching up. Sometimes it's not always about advice. Sometimes it's just about our lives, which relate to you. We hope you enjoy this.
And next week we'll talk a little about New Year's resolutions because we'll be
seven or eight days
into the new year, yeah. Which means that everybody's already broken theirs anyway. So what we'll do next week is we'll actually get you back on track, because New Year's resolutions are the most overhyped bullshit thing in the entire world.
I personally think your New Year's resolution should be one, not two, not three. People overload the list. And I personally feel it should be small. Baby steps before you run or walk.
See you next week on The Love Report. For everybody who has never listened before, go to pattyknows.com. Sign up to get The Love Report every single week.
And follow David Wygant and Patty Stanger on Twitter, because our advice is 24/7.
Yeah, we're always on there. And one last thing, okay? You got to do one thing, okay? And this is one thing you do for New Year's. New Year's, you give a gift to everybody else. You pass this along to four other people. Four of your friends need to listen to this, because you need to be on the same page as your friends in 2014, because your support group is always what screws you up, and we'll talk about that next week.
Ooh,
see you next week on The Love
Report.
That's
a good one. Isn't I've never had a good support group.
Yeah,
because I want to hear about this.
Well, yeah, because they do that all the time.
I'm always a lone rider.
Well, think about it. Then when you go to your friends for the support, they go, oh, that, you can't do that.
So I always hate hearing the negativity. You got to have people positive support group. People who believe what you believe, or get the fuck out of Dodge.
See you next week.
See you next week.